Patrick Foss reporting.
iPhone owners from several states have sued Apple, apparently angry with Apple for not disclosing sooner that it issued software updates, deliberately slowing older model phones so aging batteries lasted longer. They say that Apple's silence led them to wrongly conclude that their only option was to buy newer and pricier iPhones. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Well, hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
And we are Analog Living in a Digital World. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the podcast, the broadcast and podcast, that's easy for me to say, that every week brings you all the stories about the tech news that we find interesting and want to pass on to you. So welcome to the show. And lots going on today. We are pre-recorded this week. Last couple of weeks, we managed to pull live shows on. But this week, we are pre-recording because it's Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. But when you hear this show, Christmas will be impending. So we're actually recording this on Thursday. So some stories will break between now and when we get out of here, when we broadcast. But we'll see.
We'll catch up on that next week.
We will catch up. Of course, CES is rapidly approaching in January, and we have some stories planned for that as well. Big story today, Thursday, Bitcoin, kaboom, crash. The cryptocurrency, of course, jumped from $8,000 to nearly $20,000 just in the last several weeks. It started the year at around $1,000 a unit, so a dramatic, to put it mildly, increase.
The only thing is, you know, if you bought on the rise, you're now behind the power curve.
Yeah.
But these
things
are always on a cycle, so you may recoup that, but it may take quite a while. I find it interesting that federal government has looked into doing cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
You know, right now it's rather volatile, so mm-hmm. it's maybe not so steady. But I mean, if a federal government decided that's how they were going to do business, I think that's part of the direction they're looking at, is to be able to use cryptocurrency technology to handle financial things. So be it. But in terms of stability, well, not so much probably. So.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, came through, as we had lunch today, a story came through that Coinbase, which is the largest cryptocurrency exchange, has suspended trading as of today. Now, it's probably a temporary measure, but a lot of people have been saying this was going to happen. It had to happen because, like any other speculative item, it's a pyramid. You've got so many buyers, so many sellers, and the value reaches a certain critical mass, and then everybody steps away from it. So this has gotten very bad. Checking for an update right now on that on the story about the fall of the cryptocurrencies. I don't have it right in front of me, but as of this broadcast. Let's see here.
It had lost
well over $4,000 in a single day.
Yeah, so. It actually went up to $20,000 last I saw it. Was it at $8,000?
Yeah.
So, dollars a coin.
Per unit.
Yeah, whatever they call
it. Now, if you still haven't quite wrapped your head around what a cryptocurrency is, it is a digital asset that is uniquely identifiable and cannot be copied. Well, you say, how can something that is digital not be copied? Because that's what we always talk about with digital, is that when you make a copy, it's a perfect copy. Well, the secret of blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and other blockchain digital assets is that there is a distributed ledger that makes it impossible to fraudulently duplicate a Bitcoin.
Right. In other words, it's a way to assign unique ownership or ownership of a unique Bitcoin or portion thereof. So it's like the serial numbers on the paper money in your wallet.
Now, is there... Is
identifiable.
There, yeah, is there a temptation for the possibility of fraud? Oh, yeah.
Of course. There's the temptation in paper money to counterfeit.
Oh, yes.
So it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, so... Goldman Sachs wants, of course, to open a cryptocurrency trading desk, which means it's sort of mainstreaming.
Yeah, it's becoming into something that's lends legitimacy to it.
Yeah.
Or it's no longer a fad or a undercurrent or a background kind of thing or what have you. That would make it more legitimate. So they aim to have a cryptocurrency trading desk up and running by the end of June 2018, apparently. Now, the bank is one of the first major players in the Wall Street groups to devote some resources into doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, now Goldman Sachs is going to be the first major player to get into the cryptocurrencies, but it won't be the last. Will this stabilize or will this push speculation even further? There's the question.
Well, that's a good question. And the New York Stock Exchange has filed paperwork to set up for Bitcoin that would allow the exchange to track it and to look at it, futures markets type of thing and that sort of thing. In other words, it would allow investors to place using bitcoins to be able to work within the market, bet on the currency as well without jumping all through all the hoops required to buy it. And so that lowers a lot of barriers into getting into the system that traditional investors have kind of balked at.
Yeah.
So it's... It becomes an exchangeable thing if you want to look at it that way. I guess it's not so much that they're going to allow folks to use cryptocurrency to buy and sell other stocks or something like that. It's so much that it becomes a commodity itself.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be kind of interesting.
So it's unique in the way that it works, Bitcoin in particular, in that the way that I was a little fuzzy on the whole mining thing. But how it works is that you provide computer time to the maintenance of the ledger, and you are rewarded with a proportional amount of Bitcoin in direct proportion to how much of the maintenance you put in to keeping the ledger up across the network.
Of course.
This is why these Chinese companies bought up every video card to build supercomputers to work on the ledgers.
Right. So before you get too excited and think, oh, I want in on that and I'm going to offer my computer up for business, you would earn about a penny a year doing that. It's a dollar if you were lucky.
Fractional amounts.
Yes, tiny, tiny amounts. It requires some computer brain power that's not in your average home PC, certainly not on a tablet or anything like that.
Yeah, so...
As we understand it.
The best thing to do if you want to get into a cryptocurrency is to join a sort of consortium and provide your computer power along with several others.
Right.
Like a group of investors.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Pool your resources.
Yep. A couple of Apple stories that we wanted to cover this week. In fact, one of our listeners, J-Bob, forwarded this one to me, but I'd already seen it. There was a lot of rumors about what was going on with older iPhones, and users were reporting that their phones were slowing down, operating at a lower efficiency, and a lot of speculation why this was. Well, it turns out that based on the edge of the phone, Apple was telling the phone to operate slower and slower, and people are going, aha, you're trying to force us to buy a new phone. Apple's counter is that, no, as the lithium battery in the phone ages, the phone is prone to shut down as heavy demands are put on it. So the software update, if it determined that your battery was of a less than optimum condition, would throttle back the phone so as not to overstress the, you know, so that the current demand wouldn't force the phone into a potentially damaging shutdown. Well, an awful lot of folks
have taken exception to that,
and they're saying, no, you're just trying to force us to buy a new smartphone, and we're not having any of it, and so they have filed a class action lawsuit against Apple Corporation.
Now, in this
lawyers step in.
There is an article on the Boomer Tech Radio Flipboard page about this that comes from MacRumors. There's always MacRumors.
Yeah, MacRumors, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't really specify what do they mean by older models. I mean, how older models? I have a coworker that's using an iPhone 4. Doesn't complain about that, but
Some people talking about the 7.
Right. Apparently, definitely. And that's pretty recent. I mean, iPhone 7s are, I think that's what I have for my work phone. And it's company supplied it, so I don't pay too much attention. I upgrade it when I have to, and so on and so forth. But there's still plenty of those out there.
Well, yeah.
How irritating is that when your response on your phone, your smartphone, slows down?
Yeah, lag and things like that.
But to have that done via software, that seems a little rude.
Yeah. So here's Apple's statement. Our goal is to deliver the best experience for customers. And, you know, that's corporate doublespeak. Including the overall performance and prolonging the life of the devices, lithium-ion batteries become less capable of supplying peak current demands when in cold conditions, have a low battery charge when they age over time, which can result in the device unexpectedly shutting down to protect the components. Last year, we released a feature for iPhone 6, 6S, and SE to smooth out the instantaneous peaks only when needed to prevent the device from unexpectedly shutting down. We've now extended that feature to iPhone 7 with iOS 11.2 and plan to add support for other models in the future. So people would complain if the batteries were to begin to fail and cause the phone to shut down, and they would sue, and now they're suing because of the workaround for the shutdowns.
Well, Apple apparently has not done a good job of explaining why they've done what they've done, and it just, you know, like it or not, you know, here it comes. You don't need to know about it, just install it and be happy with it, right? And that's not exactly quite right. And also, batteries should be replaceable on these phones. You can't do it yourself, but you could send it back to Apple and say, I want a new battery.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a pain in the butt, because what do you do in the meantime when you don't have your phone?
Yeah.
That's a bit crazy. You should be able to go into a shop and they can replace one, you know, within a short period of time, you would think.
Well, to have an Apple replace your battery, it costs about $80 plus another $7 for shipping, which on a device that has an original sticker price of, $500 plus,
it's
not terrible.
No, it isn't. Well, never mind that. If you're going to go buy a new iPhone 10, the latest model, you're at a grand. You can replace a lot of batteries for $1,000. And maybe you don't want a new one. Maybe the new one.
Maybe you like your.
Well, the new one is just, there's no point in upgrading because of the way that you use your phone. You know, you should be able to replace that battery.
So people, but people are, you know, anybody who makes a profit is automatically suspected of egregious greed. And so I think the truth lays somewhere in between. Now, speaking of Apple, this tax break that went through, Do you see this? This again from Cult of Mac. The new U.S. tax code that passed through could get Apple to bring some of their money back home because they have around a quarter of a trillion dollars. A quarter billion. Well, no, $253 billion.
Oh, billion.
That's a
Sorry.
Quarter
yes.
trillion.
Duh. Hello.
Held
Can't
overseas.
Do the math. Yes.
So
right.
Apple can possibly bring that money back into the United States without having to pay quite, because it was kept in tax havens like Ireland
right.
and places like that.
Right.
So, under the new rules, they can take advantage of a one-off 15.5% tax rate, meaning it would owe around $39 billion. Apple has already set aside most of that for the purpose. They could use the cash to pay off some heavy debts that they hold, and bringing money back into the country is probably not a bad thing, rather than keeping it in some offshore accounts.
So it's very interesting, the corporate ramifications of that. But, you know, does that really benefit anybody but the shareholders is really what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to lower its device price, or it's not going to do this or that for the regular consumer. It's a good deal for investors, perhaps, and
yeah.
it may make good sense business-wise for the company, but I don't think that that's going to bleed over into the consumer world
right.
at all.
Yep.
You'll still be paying $1,000 for an iPhone 10.
So, interesting story, and we put this in Boomer Tech. It isn't strictly speaking technology, unless, of course, you consider Stonehenge to be early technology. Kind of hard to set that clock. But astronomy and meteorology differ on the definition of solstice.
They do?
No, that's what
As
this
a meteorologist,
is.
I'm like, what?
Now... Interesting. Somebody was asking me, well, gee, you mean the Earth slows down and then tilts back the other way?
No.
Recessing in a circle. The pole is describing a circle in the sky, as I understand it.
Well, okay.
And
Earth wobbles.
It's wobbling.
Earth wobbles on its own axis of rotation, North
yeah.
Pole and South Pole.
Yeah.
Okay. But that pole, that line, if you draw a line through the Earth from North Pole to South Pole, that line is about approximately 23.5 degrees offset from the plane of its rotation around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So this creates our seasons, because part of the year
is the amount of time.
Right,
of
this
day
is why the Arctic Circle and Antarctic Circle exist, and why there's, you know, Land of the Midnight Sun in Alaska, where you get above the Arctic Circle, and then you have 24/7 sunlight. The sun never really sets certain mm-hmm. times of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, you also have time of year in the winter when it never rises above the horizon.
Which is
well.
Why if you go north right. far enough, the sun actually makes a big circle around the horizon.
Right. So the that tilt of the Earth's rotational axis, the North Pole to South Pole line, the tilt of that line off of the plane of its rotation around the sun is what gives us our seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know, pointed the same direction. The Earth doesn't, you know, flip over and do weird things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. It doesn't do that. And then you could be, I forget which one of the planets it is out there whose rotational axis is at 90 degrees to its plane around
That'd
the...
That would be Uranus.
Yeah, around its plane of rotation around the sun. So I always thought of solstice in the astronomical sense, even as a meteorologist. So I unfortunately didn't get a chance to read this thoroughly. So they're saying meteorological winter. Okay, so if you talk about solstice being the first day of winter, then yes, we expect the next, you know, 3 months, what we call winter.
Yeah, there's a good article.
Meteorologically,
yeah.
but that's more of a human thing, not an astronomical
yeah.
thing. And for a lot of locations, the coldest time of the year is not coming up. It's about now,
mm-hmm.
Or at least in California anyway. Most of our coldest, you know, if you look at climatology, right around Christmas is the coldest.
Around the third week of January.
No, not for here, not in California.
Mm-hmm.
For most locations in California, the coldest time of year is about now. and January actually ends up being warmer. So, you know, I don't know as I would call the season, you know, that we're starting based on astronomical solstice as meteorological winter. I don't think of it as that way, but I can see why they do. I think of it more as a calendar designation, you know. So spring starts at the equinox and summer starts at the next solstice and so on and so forth. So, yeah, whatever. But I totally understand why there's both definitions.
Well, pretty cool.
But I think of the astronomical one as the one I think about, because now the days are going to start getting longer, which means summer's coming, which in Reading is brutal.
It means it's going to get hot.
It's really, really hot. Yep. But that's okay. We still have plenty of cool, hopefully moist days. We haven't been very wet so far. December has been very dry here locally, so that's the way these things go.
So let's suppose that you want to get yourself or a relative a smartphone, but you don't want to get the $500, $1,000 high-end smartphone. Well, there is an alternative, and that's exactly what we did for Brenda's brother, who's an aerospace engineer, but not much of a techie guy.
No, he's pretty base model that way. He says, I sit in front of a computer all day at work. Why do I want to come home and do the same thing?
Right. So we looked at phones for him, and we thought about, you know, one of the Samsung Galaxies. But when we went to our Verizon store, they steered us into the J Series, which is a budget spec phone. The 2018 actually only cost you about $135.
Wow.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
The new J2 series has a pretty size, has a camera flash for both front and rear, has a 5-inch display with good resolution, and as a starter smartphone, it is not a bad phone. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but it has the basics.
Well, again, you know, do you really need all of that for the kinds of things that my brother's interested in doing? That's why we got him a base model smartphone, is because he can use it on a data plan. He can take pictures and send text messages and make phone calls. That's probably about all he's going to do. He doesn't need a lot of apps to keep track of stuff. You know, it's like if I lose mine, that's my brain, because that's where my calendar is and how I keep track of all of these things. And there's many other apps that he's unlikely to use just because he doesn't spend that much time on devices. But those abilities to send text messages and make phone calls and drop onto the internet to research where motels ahead are or whatever is handy for travel, which is how he's most likely to use it.
Yeah. So if you're looking for the latest and greatest, obviously the J2 is not it. But it does have,
Well, there's an affordability aspect to this, too.
You're not paying $500 for the
or
thing.
Or more, you know, $500 to $1,000, depending on where you're going. So, you know, it's kind of nice that there's something for every budget. That part is a good deal. And so most of these devices, you get what you pay for. If you're not paying a lot, then it's not going to have a lot of features.
Right. But it is a fully functional phone. It has, when it comes to its performance as a phone and as a texting device, unless you're doing a lot of stuff that requires a lot of number crunching, it's going to be a perfectly good phone.
Well, sure. And maybe it's one that you want to get your kid because you don't want them to have a lot of apps or features or whatever. They just need to have something basic to work with, and go with it.
Has the has a gig and a half of RAM, 16 gigs of storage. I don't believe that is expandable, but unless you're doing a lot of movie making, things like that, it's going to be a perfectly good startup phone.
It does not have the latest version of the Android operating system, but that's not really a problem because there's very few phones right now that do anyway, as I understand it.
Our Notes don't have Oreo.
Right. Nougat is the last one.
Yeah. So for a starter phone, either this or, of course, the I forget the one that we've been talking about as being one of the best bargain phones, but you don't necessarily have to have the latest and greatest. And, of course, there's going to be a little pressure to get the latest and greatest. But get the smartphone, as we say with so many of our devices, get the one that works for you.
Right. It does what you need it to do.
What phone should I get? Well, what do you want to do with it?
Right.
It's Boomer Tech Radio coming up on the bottom of the hour with Bob and Brenda. Merry Christmas. It's our Christmas weekend show. Back with more tech news you can use after this. It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas from all of us at True Life Church. We pray that you have a wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a great country that from the beginning was established with freedom of religion, a freedom to worship God as you choose. We are also thankful for the Constitution and its rule of law, and a hearty thanks to the people who were and are willing to give their life and live their life to make and keep this country free. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it, Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is Justin Locke from Veterans Diesel. I'd like to wish all of our veterans and men deployed overseas Merry Christmas. I know it's hard this time of year being away from your families, but we all appreciate your sacrifice. And come on down and see us at Veterans Diesel. We offer 10% off labor to all our veterans and law enforcement and first responders.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Redding, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
And we're back. Boomer Tech Radio, the broadcast podcast every week, bringing you the goodies and gadgets and gizmos. You want to subscribe to the podcast, go to BoomerTechRadio.com. Pull up the story, hit subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on the Google Play Store. You can also go to Stitcher. You have the app on your iDevice or your Android, and do it that way. We're also show up on TuneIn Radio. We're not sure how that happened, but
we are.
There we are. So you can go directly to the webcast, or you can go through the podcaster of your choice. And, of course, always, you go to kcnr1460.com/archives, and there we are. Hey, we've been living with our smart thermostat, our Nest, for a couple of years now, and it has its ups and downs. The nice thing is that it learns your trends over time, but it only has a very limited it only learns a single routine, and if your routine suddenly changes, you have to fiddle with the thing to get it to catch up. You have to go into the app and mess around with it. Now, we finally got ours dialed in, but it does have some oddities. Of course, the Nest is the most popular smart thermostat, and
it's so simple to use.
They've sold millions of them because it is so simple. It's an elegant-looking device.
Very easy to use.
Yeah. This article in Wired is kind of funny. It says, we lived with the Nest's vagaries as if it were a beloved but cranky elderly relative. Because Nest will check it checks for movement. And if it doesn't see any movement, it says, okay, nobody's home. So it drops the temperature back to its default energy saving.
Right. But if you happen to be at the other end of the house or outside or something like that, it may do something you really don't want it to.
Yeah. So there's an alternative now that has got multi-zone capability, costs less. It's not as pretty as the Nest. But it's going to save you some money, and that is the Ecobee 4 smart thermostat. It comes with one external sensor, so now you've got multiple zone sensing.
Uh-huh.
And you can buy a pack of sensors, two additional, to increase the amount of input, because obviously input matters to the smart thermostat, so it can make good decisions about when to turn the system on and off. Installs very simply, just like any other thermostat. You connect the wires, and this is something that even a do-it-yourself person can do, or you can have a professional come do it. But it's really on a thermostat. It's low voltage. Your existing thermostat usually has five wires on it. They are color-coded. Really not a lot to go wrong here. Shut off the power to your HVAC system before you start, of course. Unmount the old thermostat, mark the wires, and then install the wires in the same color-coded positions on the Ecobee, and you're good to go. You've got home, away, and sleep schedules. You can set the vacation dates. Now, this is kind of nice. If you've got a string of days that you're going to be gone, you can program that in through the app or through the website. You can have reminders to change your filters. That's kind of nice. Or say, give you an alert if something has gone wrong with your thermostat and the temperature in the house goes past a certain point. So you've got a warning if the house gets hot.
So that's good.
Yeah. You can set baseline comfort settings for home, away, and sleep, so it doesn't, start jacking up the temperature at 4 a.m. for no apparent reason. the interface is a little more like a like an instrument rather than a piece of furniture. You know, the new Nest has got that kind of a frosty, it vanishes when it's not in use, whereas the Echo Bee has a little more of a display. And the big thing, of course, is that it has Alexa integration. So you can actually voice command, increase temperature, decrease the temperature. So if you have an Amazon Echo in another room, it will converse with the Echo Bee and control the temperature in your house.
That's kind of nice. Yeah, I had a friend one time, they replaced their fireplace. They put a gas insert in there, a natural gas insert.
Mm-hmm.
And he could sit in his recliner with a remote control and control the gas fireplace, you know, increase the temperature, decrease the temperature, you know, turn it up, turn it down, that sort of thing. That was the height of luxury. That was like 20 years ago. That was spiffy stuff, right? Yeah. This is, of course, much the same thing, except now it's on voice command.
Yep. Echo Bee has Google Home, Apple HomeKit, Samsung SmartThings compatibility. So if you're thinking of finally going into a smart thermostat, and they do help you remember to save, to dial back at the appropriate times. Ours has been pretty much set and forget. It does have some odd behaviors at times, but it is nice to walk through the door, and the minute we start moving around, hear the heating system come on to welcome us home.
Yep.
In the case of our house, at 4:45, you know, we wake up at 5 a.m. At 4:45, the heating system comes on.
Right, so it's a
so
little
the bathroom
bit,
is a little
a little warmer than
a little less frosty,
a little less chilly. Yes,
yeah, so
that's a nice feature, actually.
That is.
I mean, most program you can today's thermostats you can program them. Mm-hmm. I have been able to program them for a long time, but the difference with the Nest. The connectivity is nice, you know, voice command control, but its simplicity of use, the other thermostats that I've seen that you program, it's a pain in the butt.
But I'm sure somebody's going, but Bob, what if the Russians hack into my thermostat and want to boil me alive in my house? Well, first of all, you probably would have had to do something to annoy somebody in Russia. But second of all, if you have a fairly secure network, which you really should, you know, as a matter of course, you're not going to be worth a target that is worthy. The thermostats and cameras that get hacked are those that are easily accessible and are pretty much leaving the door unlocked. So just put in some basic protection. Get the 12-year-old next door to do it if you don't know how to do it yourself. There's Winter Olympics coming in South Korea 2018. And, of course, South Korea, the home of Samsung, really wants to show off technology. So their high-speed train, and, of course, in Korea, they have actual, honest-to-goodness, high-speed trains that go at like 155 miles an hour.
That's amazing.
That is.
Fastest I've ever gone is about 100 in a vehicle.
Yeah. The train is also equipped with high-speed, long-term evolution Wi-Fi on board. So not only are you moving along kind of fast, you get to have very, very fast internet. So we're going to be covering more smart home stuff and Wi-Fi stuff, talking about some 5G items as we get closer to CES 2018. And we're planning next week. Or the week after, recording an interview with the folks from CES so that we can get a kind of an inside track.
Yeah, as to what's happening and new and fresh this year, if anything, which, quite frankly, we're not seeing anything that's all that exciting. There's a lot of talk about televisions, but there's always a lot of talk about televisions. I'm sure there'll be more about robotics and drones and that sort of thing, but there's nothing groundbreaking so far as we've seen in the tech news. So, but for her, we'll get some insight about that.
Yeah. of course, CES is big with computers as well. Not as big as Comdex or something like that. But laptops, tablets, hybrids, the big players such as Dell, Lenovo, Acer, Asus, HP, Several other, and Razer. Remember the triple screen laptop that somebody ended up stealing from the display?
Oh, yes.
I imagine they'll have a little better security this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get people. Why can't they just leave stuff like that alone?
Intel and AMD, who of course have been major head-to-head competitors in the processor industry, are actually working together on a hybrid processor that will be combining hardware technologies from both companies. AMD, of course, makes high-end graphics, and they go head-to-head with NVIDIA, which, by the way, is now moving into artificial intelligence. So this is sort of like what was going on with the automotive industry back around the turn of the 20th century, is that there's a lot of shakeout going on. Let's see here. Did your tablet just die on you or something? Because you've got that look on your face.
No, it's behaving itself.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to skip CES this year. We're going to watch it from afar, and we'll either go down next year or the year after, because Brenda and I can only do Vegas every few years.
Literally. I mean, it is exhausting. The people that go every year, I don't know how they do it. I mean, you have to be in physical shape to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy, and it's just draining.
Yeah.
The traffic and the everything. It's just crazy.
Interesting, and this is happening in the U.S. too, but an article in the U.K. Guardian and this is one of the problems with increased police powers, including surveillance of our internet activities. Human mistakes still happen. Do pedophiles need to be ruthlessly hunted down? Yeah. But if somebody does a typo, which is apparently the case, in a case that took place over in Europe, or in Britain, two children were separated from their parents for a weekend as the parents were questioned as suspects in a child sexual exploitation case. It later emerged that police had raided the wrong address due to an error on the documentation. They were, in fact, innocent. So they were traumatized because the police were probably yelling questions at them, trying to get them to confess to something that simply hadn't happened. No doubt the children were being asked, well, did this happen? Did that happen? So they're all freaked out. Digital devices belonging to innocent people have been forensically examined by police. These errors were mainly because details, you know, you had that human interaction. Some of the details that were entered into the software, when it came to specific internet protocol addresses, somebody made a typo. See, this is the danger of modern forensic police work, is that there's still the human factor.
Oh,
and
yes.
Somebody makes a typo, and you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, this whole chain of events happens based on the wrong thing. So, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Person who studied this in Britain said that these errors are far more common than acceptable in cases relating to child sex exploitation. The impact on some of the victims of these errors has been appalling.
Well,
we have to be careful with this power.
And how do you fix that? You can't fix that.
Yeah, you can't go back once the accusation has been made. It's not unlike if you wanted to destroy somebody, you make an accusation against them, against which there is no defense.
Or is so egregious or something like that that there's all you're doing is introducing an element of doubt, if you will.
Yeah. Well, the 400-pound gorillas of retail are back at it again. Walmart now wants to test personal shopping and cashier-free stores, because we all know how much fun the cashiers at your average Walmart have with their... They're a little frazzled about this time of year, don't you think?
Yeah, probably. Or you get one that... I've seen a few, and I'm just speaking locally, that it's like, no, I'm not going there because they are so slow. And I know I'm slow when I go through the self-checkout thing, But at least I'm the source of it. It's not somebody else's thing.
And if you're a cashier at Walmart, and there's probably a significant number of them, I don't know how many would listen to this program, but my apology, but oh my God, it's just, you kind of like you're dealing with the DMV slob from Animatopia.
Animatopia, yes. Yeah. That's...
But at the end of a 9-hour shift of watching bag after bag go
it's
past,
it's got to be a horrible job. I couldn't do
the scanner.
That's a horrible task. Mm-hmm. No thanks.
Walmart, of course, the brick and mortar store, wants to counter Amazon and try to regain back market share. They're testing out a pair of services that cut the humans out of the equation. The first is a personal shopping service for the high net worth urban consumer. Mm-hmm.
High net worth urban consumer is probably not going to Walmart as their first choice.
They're trying
for
to attract
shopping.
That business using text messages to get recommendations and make purchases. You can even send a photo to show what you want. Send some text, and you get a typical household item within 24 hours delivered to your door. Or anywhere else within a couple of business days. Eventually, it would be a membership fee, although testers are using it at no cost. The other thing that Walmart is trying out is automated checkout. Now, we discovered, personally, a problem with automated checkout. I think we mentioned this last week, but it probably bears mentioning again. What happens if somebody doesn't clear the screen, if somebody's ahead of you in the line, never completes their transactions, and it leaves an item on your screen, and you don't see it. And it's been registered as going into your bag. But, of course, it's not there.
Well, the first thing to do when you go up to these screens is make sure that, you know, the last transaction has been accomplished. I had that in a drive-through recently as well at a fast food restaurant where the person ahead of me had made an order and never stopped at the window. They just, as soon as the vehicle ahead of them,
suddenly realized they didn't have the money on them.
Didn't have the money probably on them or whatever. So I got their order, and it didn't even occur to me that I needed to check that because it was the same price. It was one of these value meal package deals.
Yeah.
So I open this up, and I go down the road I'm eating, and I grab something. Wait a minute. This isn't what I ordered. Oh, well, I mean, it wasn't a disaster, but I felt sorry for the guy behind me because the same thing, there'd be a chain reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So that's the problem with these near automated systems where you don't have somebody doing a little check and balance.
Well, the other thing, too, is if something chokes up and it doesn't recognize something, they always have to have an attendant there to clear something. They're not a perfect system yet, the self-checkout things. You have to work at it. There's a local grocery store that you can download an app and scan your items in, and then at the checkout, they can just give you the total, but how do you keep fraud from happening? Mm-hmm. How do they know those are the only things you have in your basket?
Right. Well, what's probably going to happen is when people bring their own bags in, you have to set the bag, of course, on the scale. And
no, it's not that so much. Is if you're wandering around the store with a basket full of items that you've already got the codes for, and this is what I purchased. You could have more in your basket than what it shows in the app.
Well,
that's, you know, then you get into shoplifting.
Well,
so Costco does that. If they're really busy, they'll have somebody come through and scan your basket before you get to the cashier. So you just go through the cashier.
Right.
But the store is checking what you're purchasing.
Yeah,
it's not up to the consumer to be honest and say what they're purchasing.
And how a lot of these stores now work is that there are built right into the price tag is a small RFID tag. That when you go out, and of course, if your credit card is valid, one would hope you have an account in good standing with these people. Otherwise, I don't know how they deal with that.
No, that doesn't make sense either. That's not going to work because how would they know it's you?
Hmm.
Yeah. So
apparently, your
RFID,
phone is your purse.
Yeah, your RFID tag would have to know that's attached specifically to you. So I don't know how that's all going to work, but there is definitely some room for fraud in there, mm-hmm. unless they have some sort of check and balance type system.
So they apparently, if you are going to shop one of these kinds of stores, and I think this is how Amazon is doing it, when you come in to Amazon Fresh, or the whatever that's their brick and mortar effort is called, you have the app on your phone. When you come in, it registers. Presumably, it's you on your phone. Yes, you could steal somebody's phone and maybe do a one-time thing if the owner of the phone hasn't bricked it. Because first thing you do now is...
It's not that so much as you could walk out with stuff that you have not scanned.
Well, that's what the tag on the... As soon as you walk out of the store, the tag is read and applied to the account and deducted on your bill.
I see. Yeah. Well, whatever. Like I said, they have to have some kind of checks and balances.
Yeah.
Or there'll be lots of fraud.
Yeah. People will spend vast amounts of time and energy going around these things just because they can. But well, you've got people going into stores right now, loading up a cart with $900 worth of stuff and walking out because they can't be arrested.
Right.
Well, they get a ticket.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, and using a calculator to keep track of how much you're stealing.
Yeah, to keep it under the felony amount.
Yes.
The arrestable amount.
Yes. And if you think that's crazy, I know people that have seen people do it.
No. So something has to be done because just the stores here in the Reading area, and we're talking about two Walmarts, lose over the course of a year almost $3 million worth of shrink. Now, some of that is internal. Some of that is damage. But a significant portion of it is stuff that walks out the door.
Amazing.
$3 million. That's kind of a sobering amount.
I didn't know it was that much locally.
Yeah, it is. If you want to reach this program and offer up suggestions, maybe congratulations on a show well done, or what do you people think you're doing, story ideas, get more information on a story that we've broadcast, ask a specific question, all of the above, boomertechradio@gmail.com is, of course, the best number, or the best number, yeah, the best email to do. You can, of course, go to boomertechradio.com, our website, where we post the show along with show notes and other pertinent information. If we get something really juicy, we'll post it on the website. And then, of course, you can download the show back episodes either at kcnr1460.com. I'm sorry, the frog has taken up residence in my throat this week, so please bear with me a little bit. You can go to kcnr1460.com/archives, click on Boomer Tech Radio, and you can listen to the stream of our past episodes. Also go to iTunes, Google Play, or the Stitcher radio application. If you just want to read along, you know, do a little Dr. Seuss read-along thing, get the Flipboard app for your device, whether you have it. I have an iPad. Brenda has an Android tablet, and we both have Flipboard. And that's kind of how we work back and forth on the stories, because we're both looking at the same stories. And the Flipboard app actually lets you create a custom magazine to your preferences, and you can flip stories from your news feeds into your personal magazine. And that's what you'll find if you go to Flipboard, sign in, get into your account, and then add the Boomer Tech Radio magazine. And we would appreciate your doing so, because you're adding to our numbers. So that's how you do it. And, of course, we're here each and every week on KCNR 1460. And we will have one more show, of course, before the year is out.
Yep.
And I don't know. We may do it live. I haven't quite figured that one out.
We're not sure yet.
Yeah. But
that's
whatever.
That's too far away. That's a week away. So we're going to have to figure that out when we get there.
We are coming up to the news at the top of the hour. It's Boomer Tech Radio with one more hour of the tech news you can use right after the top of the hour break. From the podcast, you'll hear a brief intermission, and then we're right back. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Good to each other. Good, honest,
reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Sauer from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A former Marine who said he wanted to carry out a Christmas Day attack on tourists on San Francisco's Pier 39 is under arrest after officials found a martyrdom letter and several guns in his home.
Agents raided the home of Everett Jameson this week, saying they found two rifles, a 9mm handgun, fireworks, and his last will and testament. During the search, they say Jameson stated his support of the group ISIS and terrorism and talked about the plan to carry out an attack on Christmas Day, saying his military training would come in handy.
Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports Jameson appeared in court yesterday and denied all allegations. A memorial service being held today in San Diego for a state firefighter killed battling the largest recorded wildfire in California's modern history. The 32-year-old Cal Fire engineer died of burns and smoke inhalation December 14th, fighting the Thomas Fire that burned more than 700 homes in Santa Barbara and Ventura counties. Some 2,000 firefighters remain in place tackling the fire, which they say is 65% contained and no longer an imminent threat to homes, but burning in remote wilderness. It's a white Christmas Eve in the Northeast. Maine Department of Transportation spokesman Ted Talbot says roads across his state are treacherous.
It's very slippery. It's very, very dangerous right now. So we're advising people, if you can restrict your travel, please do so, and let the crews do what they need to do to try to get through this storm.
Talbot says freezing rain is in the forecast for Saturday, meaning driving conditions across the state and the region actually will be challenging. A lot of snow falling up in the northeastern areas. It was on this date in 1913 the Federal Reserve System was created as President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act. Get more news, read more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Relief Factor is made from high-quality fish oil and essential nutrients. Gives your body the help it needs to aid fighting recurring aches and pains. When life's aches and pains get you down, you need relief. Physicians made Relief Factor as an essential way to support the body's fight against aches and pains. It's a remarkable product. It has worked. I only endorse it because it helped my wife with her knee pain. I didn't even know she was taking it. Then when it was mentioned, she said, oh yeah, this stuff is like magic. Look, there are people who've told me they've postponed or delayed or simply negated surgery because of Relief Factor. That's how powerful it is. Go to www.relieffactor.com, that's relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, that's 800-500-8384. This remarkable product is called Relief Factor, relieffactor.com.
Queen Elizabeth II's cousin has apologized for wearing jewelry that some observers on social media found offensive.
A spokesman for Princess Michael of Kent says that she is very sorry and distressed that a brooch featuring the head of a black man caused offense. Some social media observers suggested it was a racist slight to Meghan Markle, Princess Harry's fiancé, whose mother is African-American. The princess has worn the brooch many times before. The princess, who entered the royal family when she married Prince Michael of Kent, wore the brooch to a Christmas lunch hosted by the Queen earlier this week. Markle was among the guests. There is no indication the brooch offended either Markle or Harry. Zaria Shakili, London.
At a United Russia's Congress, President Vladimir Putin expressed his vision for modernizing Russia, while some of his challengers in next March's presidential vote were formally nominated for the race. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. iPhone owners from several states have sued Apple Inc.
The owners are angry with Apple for not disclosing sooner that it issued software updates, deliberately slowing older model phones so aging batteries lasted longer, saying Apple's silence led them to wrongly conclude that their only option was to buy newer, pricier iPhones. The allegations were in a lawsuit filed in Chicago federal court. The suit alleges Apple violated consumer fraud laws. Patrick Foss reporting.
After losses over the last few days, the digital currency Bitcoin fell as much as 30% in Asia. The action became so frenzied that the website Coinbase suspended trading. It later made up much of that ground and slumped 9.5% to $14,042 on Friday. Experts, though, are warning Bitcoin is a bubble that is about to burst. More news, more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
And welcome back. It's hour two of Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living, Digital World, the program of the goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. As we head into our second hour of the broadcast podcast, and we'll tell you as we get towards the end of the show how you can follow along with the big sing-along here with our tech show. We will tell you, though, get this out of the way, that we want to do a big shout-out to our friends down at Advanced Automotive of Reading.
Loyal sponsors.
Loyal sponsors. Can you believe 8 years?
For 8 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
Loving it.
We've never upped the price on them,
yeah,
for sponsorship. We've been told we can, but nah, why bother?
They've really helped us. They believe in what we do, and we believe in what we do.
So. They when I bring that up, they say, well, you support us, and so they want to support us.
Yeah.
We support them.
They work on our vehicles, and they make it right. So if you need good automotive work done, it's Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road, Reading, 244-4423, and tell them Bob and Brenda sent you.
Good people.
That will really make our day.
Good people.
Shopping. We've been talking about shopping. Of course, most hopefully, by the time you're listening to this show, your Christmas shopping is done. In fact, if you're listening to the podcast, it's probably a past tense sort of deal. Maybe you've gone to the post-Christmas sales, things like that.
Well, there's that possibility as well. Some people wait for that.
Yeah.
Take their gift card and go, you know, double your money type of thing, which can be a good thing. I was in a major retailer the other day, and I thought, oh, my gosh, here's a perfect opportunity to get the ugly sweater for the ugly sweater contest. Mm. They had a bunch of ugly sweaters. I'm like, I wonder if that's why they were selling them. But Christmas-themed sweaters, it was like, really? definitely good for ugly sweater contests.
So a lot of us more and more, now, we will tell you that if you have the opportunity, of course, shop local first, because that helps your friends and neighbors and gets the economy going and things like that. If it's an item that is not available locally, either in a mom and pop or a big box store, and you are on Amazon,
Have you noticed?
Amazon's not the only online retailer,
right? But it is the gorilla.
One place you want to go first because they have everything.
But the retailer picks up major hints about our lives, hobbies, phones, gaming consoles that we own, our taste in books, toys our kids play with, garden equipment, and even if we get into a little ado of yourself. Amazon, of course, using that information to target you with recommendations for new products and more relevant advertising. Nowhere is this more evident than if you routinely use Facebook. You look at something on Amazon and the product shows up in your Facebook feed the very next day.
How does that work?
It's creepy.
When you don't give Amazon your Facebook stuff. How does that work?
I would be interested in knowing who is selling what to who.
Right. So there's information exchange going on there that I did not initiate nor authorize.
Yeah. It's the same when you emails through Gmail or Outlook. The ads, of course, that support the service are tweaked based on the content. Now, they're not reading your email word for word. They're picking up on keywords. So if you have lots of mentions of fishing trips and boats and things like that, you're going to see boat-oriented ads in the sidebars.
I don't know about you, but...
Is this creepy?
It's creepy, but
intrusive?
It could be intrusive as well if you want to view it that way. But really, how do they make their money with those ads is when you click on them.
Mm-hmm.
When you go somewhere that is...
So somebody must.
Well, yes, there are lots of people who probably do. Quite frankly, I ignore them. I couldn't tell you who's in those banner ads or who's in those
sidebar
ads.
Yeah.
Because that's not how I shop. So I'm relatively impervious to that, I guess. So there have been maybe a handful of times that I've clicked on something,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, then they say, oh, well, at least we got you five times, right? But to me, that's an ineffective marketing type of thing. I don't click on those ads. I don't even pay attention to them.
So sometimes you'll see ads for very odd things that really have no relevance for you. Now, you're going to see ads. There's no getting away from it.
How come Gmail is so-called free, right?
And yeah, but the stuff that Amazon is actually taking note of, as far as their recommendations, recommendations for you that show up in your Facebook feed that are inspired by your Amazon purchases, that's got to be a deal that was cut between Facebook and Amazon.
It may be, too, what conversations you have in Facebook or what you post in Facebook. It would be easy for Facebook to mine that and post suggestions as well. So
I don't know
if there's that cross.
Video gear, I see boat stuff always showing up in my Facebook
feed. That's interesting because I don't post much on Facebook, so the stuff that shows up is related to what I'll link to that somebody else put in there, like cat videos or something like that. Just to use an easy common one, for instance. I don't know if it's linked to my Gmail because I don't pay attention to those that much.
Well, let me just real quick here. I'm going to open up my Facebook, and I'm going to scroll down to the very first ad that I see. And let's see here. Scrolling down.
Yeah, I don't pay any attention. Well, those are the ones they post in your
newsline,
right?
Last night, I was looking at the prices because my vest is getting a little worn out, and I was looking at Scott E. vests. I was shopping them. And guess what, Brenda? In my Facebook feed, right there, Scott E. Do you need a Scott? How will you Scott E. vest? So I looked at this on my Amazon account,
and it
here
ended
it
up
is in my Facebook feed.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Now, that's obviously a custom thing. Videoguys.com. Now, that's not going to show up in the average person's
No, that's not going to be
Facebook
a random
feed.
Thing,
That
no.
is a targeted feed.
Yep.
And let's see here. What's another? The Mevo by Livestream, which is a streaming solution, because I looked at an ad once months ago, and it still shows up in my Facebook feed. Is this legal? Well, obviously it's legal. But is it possibly a bit intrusive? Now, in the wake of, remember the pressure cooker bombings?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
And
people who were looking
people who
for
were buying
actually
pressure
looking
cookers
for pressure cookers
were getting calls.
Yeah.
Getting calls from the FBI. What are you doing? A little bit scary. So, can you stop it? Probably. Well, the only way to stop it is never shop Amazon again.
Well,
that may not be terribly realistic.
The only way to avoid all of this stuff is to not be online. Period.
Throw away your cell phone. Go live in a iron cave so that none of the RF can get at you. Probably not going to happen for most of us. But it is a little bit of a, it's something that didn't exist some years ago, and we are wrestling, trying to wrap our brains around just how insidious this, I'm probably scaring listeners, aren't I, right now? I got people wrapping their phones in tinfoil,
even as we speak. Well, not so much.
speaking of phones wrapped in tinfoil, a kind of a sleeper movie that didn't make a huge box office, but is a hell of a good movie, is Jackie Chan's The Foreigner. We went to go see it at the Cheap Theater. And there's some tech involved in that movie.
Oh, yes.
He gets rid of his cell phone, he gets a burner, and he wraps that in foil. Real, and they use tech to hunt down the police use some very extreme tech, including drones, to hunt down some of the perpetrators and bad guys.
Yeah, find out what's going on.
And of course, the movie, which is set in Britain, there's TV cameras with facial recognition everywhere in Britain. To an extent that would scare Americans.
I think a lot of the European countries do that, although I don't know that for sure.
It's a neat little movie. It's coming out, I think, pretty soon on some of the services. We went to go see it at the Cheap Seat Theater.
$1.50.
Yeah, $1.50 each. You can't
beat
that's
that.
That's great for a movie experience.
Yep.
Anyway, back to the story. We kind of got a little sidetracked. If you can't remember, if you put it in order for something, or if you, I ordered this thing and I need another one.
Right.
But I can't remember who I ordered this piece of classic vinyl from. You can go into Amazon through the website, not the app. Go into your accounts and lists and click your orders. Now, you'll probably have to log in with your password. The screen will show you everything you have ever purchased from Amazon in reverse chronological order. You can see when it was ordered, when they were delivered, where they got delivered to. So if something's gone missing, you can actually sort of backtrack it and say, it was left on my porch on the 21st and some son of a gun took off with it. You know?
Yeah,
now you know what to tell the cops.
Reverse order is the most recent order will be listed first.
Last in, first out.
Yeah, exactly. We did that recently with something that we needed to reorder a supply of something, and you just went and said, buy again. They do make it easy.
They do make it entirely too easy. Amazon will let you download your data and report order history reports in a CSV, that's comma-separated values. Now, if you're a spreadsheet person, you're just all over comma-separated values. Drop that right into the spreadsheet app. And you'll be scared because of how much you've spent.
Yeah, there's that, right?
Yeah. You can request the report. Amazon will compile the information and then send it to you as a file on your request. And then you can drop that right into your Excel numbers or other spreadsheet application and look and see what you're spending on this, that, and the other thing. And it may reveal some interesting information. Oh, my. So you can look at your order history. But, of course, Amazon is using this information to determine your personal preferences. Amazon analyzes your behavior. Like, if you look at something longer than usual, it takes note of that. Maybe the dog started barking.
Yeah, I know. Probably what time of day even that you tend to browse and purchase is noted for whatever reason. They know a lot about you and your habits, some of which are like, so what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Would be very interesting to know more about.
Well, you must own a dog. Now, here's the thing, and this is a far-fetched scenario, but and we talked about this when there was the big push on automating healthcare records.
Mm-hmm.
And if your, say, grocery purchases were in this big database and you get a note from your government healthcare provider, okay, I'm really touching the paranoid button here, but you get a note saying, you've been ordering Häagen-Dazs at a very high rate, and we don't feel that this is good for you, so we're going to raise your rates. In fact, health insurance companies are already dinging people who aren't falling into line, right?
Oh, yeah. I know my brother's run across this at corporate level.
If you don't meet our standards,
right,
you will pay more.
Meet a certain standard.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
And there are those who say, well, if you don't behave responsibly, then you should bear a greater burden
right.
of the cost of taking care of you.
Right.
And so there's two sides to that. But we go into the nanny state thing.
Yep. It's the beginning of that.
Yeah.
And those, there are things out there that exist like that.
Yeah.
That's not being paranoid.
Maybe you like a particular genre of book that is not necessarily politically correct. Will that count again? Will your employer? See, here we go with this social media stuff.
Right.
Employers already mine social media looking for behaviors that might reflect poorly on the company. Let's suppose that some woman has just a real thing for bodice-ripping romance novels. Okay. And we know them. They're out there, or their things wouldn't be on the shelf,
well,
right?
Well, I was just say someone. You know, you don't genderize that.
Okay. Well,
just say someone has a penchant for these books.
Well, or a guy may be into something that's so...
The equivalent.
Yeah, the equivalent, or something that's a little bit unsavory or something. Will employers be able to purchase that data? Because it's not necessarily personally well, it is personally identifiable information. Will an employer, let's say you were trying for a government job?
Well, there will be lawsuits over that in terms of privacy or relevancy. If a company cannot prove a link of harm or potential harm, then they're not going to have much to stand on.
But just think about this for a minute. I just went off on this tangent here. There's a whole genre of books called, for lack of a better term, monster porn. Vampires and werewolves and things like that, and having romances with them. If that's your thing, knock yourself out. But let's suppose you're going to work for a major corporation that has strict conservative values. Can they mine that information and say, no, you're not the kind of person we want working for us?
I don't know. That sort of thing goes on already anyway.
Yeah.
They do have, you know, there's all kinds of things like that.
Well,
far be it for us to solve that problem we don't know if it exists or not.
Yeah. So back to the Amazon story once again. You can kind of fine-tune the algorithms that are serving up recommended purchase for you. The simplest way is to write reviews of your purchases, your star ratings, tell Amazon exactly what you do and don't like. Do this from your orders page. Click on write a product review.
Yeah, but that's just more information about you.
Mm-hmm. You can look for accounts and lists. You can look at recommendations. You can edit the recommendations. And if there's a product line in there that just really doesn't make sense to you, you can actually have it removed from your list of recommendations, and here you go, feeding them more data, more input.
Yep, you can look at add feedback is also available, and you can click on that and say how relevant it was to your interests and all of that sort of thing. So Amazon knows that as well. So if you keep looking something up but then tell them that the ads aren't relevant, they're probably not agree with you, and so, you know, you can't really trick it that way. But why, I don't even bother to look at those ads, so I don't mm-hmm. I didn't even know there was an ad feedback thing you could put on there,
yeah.
Or that's on there that you can click on and do these things. I don't waste my time with that. I don't have enough hours in the day without feeding even more information to Amazon.
Yeah, well,
that's the
is
way
all
I
about
look at it.
The cookies that are created
you
from,
can
from
clear
your browse.
You can clear your cookies every time you log off.
Yeah.
And shut your machine down. So, I don't know.
There are browser extensions such as AdBlock Plus, Privacy Badger for Chrome, Opera, and Firefox.
They stop many websites, including Amazon, from tracking your activities. These add-ons, you're less likely to see ads for items similar to those you've been browsing. Of course, if you ever do want to receive tailored recommendations, you'll have to turn the plugins off. So,
I guess I don't care because I don't care about ads.
Yeah.
They don't do anything for me.
Well, it's like telephone solicitation. Somebody must fall
yep,
for that because otherwise they wouldn't bother, would they?
Right. It has to pay off somehow.
Yes, there has to be a payday at the end of all this. Okay. One of the interesting things about Apple is that iOS and macOS, while they have the Apple logo on the device, are really absolutely separate ecosystems. There are a few apps that will work cross-platform, but for the most part, something that happens on a Mac doesn't happen on your iPad. Apple is going to finally set in motion apps that will work. If you start it on an iPhone, you can work on it more on your iPad, and it'll be on your Mac OS without the need for having multiple versions. In other words, this is the thing that Microsoft has been trying to do with, like, Office 360, and which, if you happen to have Google Documents, that's already happening. Now, I have Google Docs on my iPad. I also have it on my Chrome browser, of course. And if I start a document on my iPad on Google Docs, it's showing up the next time I open up my browser. Now, of course, that requires immediate connectivity.
Right. And so I always thought that one of the reasons that they had different versions was that had to do with the efficiencies of the device you were using. A smartphone doesn't have as many brains as your laptop does or your desktop Mac or whatever. So it made sense to have the app work within the architecture of the operating system. But does that mean everything's linked through the cloud?
And probably, that's how
they work, yeah, because it would say no matter where you are, it goes and gets, it produces a file of some kind that the next opening of that application on whichever operating system can go and retrieve and pick up where you left off mm-hmm. or utilize it, the same outputs, if
right.
you will, the appearance of outputs.
Right.
So, how are they doing that exactly?
Right now there are apps that behave completely different depending on if you happen to be working on your Mac or if you happen to be working on your tablet or if you happen to be working on your phone. I would say that very soon now, and there's a demand for this, that if you have, say, if you're doing iMovie on your Mac, or let's take it further and go Final Cut Pro, FCPX.
I don't see you doing that on your iPhone.
Well, iPhone might be a little tricky, but the newest generation of iPad Pros certainly have the power to be able to edit together short videos. There are some automated programs for slamming together videos that are sort of pre-cut, but that's kind of like, remember the really annoying slideshows that everybody had based on the same template that would scan across? It was sort of a Ken Burns effect, but it was endless, and it was always the same pattern, and no sooner would one picture come up than it would fade out to be replaced by the next one, and the same awful soundtrack.
But it would
be
nice.
Really old,
it would be nice not to have to, to have the same functionality across platforms.
For instance, if you're doing graphics on your favorite iPad app, be able to directly transfer the skills, knowledge, and workflow to the more powerful desktop. Does that mean that Apple's going to start bringing out touchscreen desktops? Because so far they have resisted that one.
That's a good question. An interesting idea. So it will be interesting to see how they accomplish that. I mean, the idea is great. I have to agree. That would is another plus for the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah,
that it has these kind of features.
It was really funny because I had a friend of mine, I mentioned my MacBook Pro. Oh, you're one of those people. And I used to get that from IT guys. Well, I do work in both ecosystems. I have I work in
PC.
Yeah,
and
I work
Apple.
In Windows 10, but I also do plenty. And I'm not a super duper expert in either one of them by any potential stretch of the imagination.
You know, they pretty much all
it's whatever
work,
it's,
work
it's,
the same.
I have more than one screwdriver in my toolbox.
Right.
Is the way I like to put it.
Yeah, exactly. And the I guess, you know, this whole thing about Apple's supposed to be so intuitive, I've never understood that. But for
certain things, the way the file handling goes, I find it easier to use. But that's just me.
Well,
and
right.
apparently enough other people that they make money doing it.
Right. And a lot of it's what you get used to. You know, whenever they upgrade to, you know, Windows or Office 2016 or whatever, yeah, things look different. Windows 10 is a good example. It looks different, but it's there somewhere.
Yeah.
You just have to spelunk around until you find
Indeed.
It.
Indeed. All right, when we come back on Boomer Tech Radio for one more segment, the terrible passwords. Yes, we're going to beat you over the head with bad passwords.
Passwords for a while.
Written down on a sticky note on a computer near you. Boomer Tech Radio, be right back.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work. Something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road, call 244-4423, or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Hi, this is Pam Dahl. On behalf of our family, we would like to recognize all veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces during this holiday season. Many who serve are not able to be with their loved ones during this special time of year. As a military family, we understand the sacrifices made by the ones serving, their spouse, children, and parents during the holidays. We are forever grateful to these families and sincerely wish each of you a safe and joyous holiday season. Merry Christmas and blessings to all.
This Veterans Holiday Salute brought to you by Sheriff Tom Basenko, Supervisor Les Baugh, Redding Kia, and Veterans Diesel.
What does it take to be called the best of the North State? More importantly, what does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes a business ownership, management, and staff that work together to let their customers know that they're not just customers. Their family. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition Center has held to that commitment. Their commitment to bring to you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. To never buy closeouts, overstocks, outdated, improperly formulated, or otherwise stressed merchandise. To provide you with a trained professional staff to help you make the right product decisions for the health of you and your family. To listen, to respond, and to always say thank you. Because we realize that we're all in this together. What does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes you. Thank you. From everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas from all of us at KCNR 1460 to your family. Without you all, we wouldn't be starting our ninth year in the business, and we so much appreciate everything that you all have done for us. Please remember our military and first responders that are out there on this blessed day. Again, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful day. And remember, we'll be back with you Tuesday, December the 26th.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
One more segment of Boomer Tech Radio. It's the broadcast, podcast every week with tech news that you can use. And please forgive me for having a little bit of a raspy voice this week. Not sure. It's the season, isn't it? Everybody's getting a little raspy. So bear with it. I will try to not be right in the microphone when I have to take care of that. Yeah, passwords, you gotta love them. They're a necessary evil. List of this year's worst passwords says a lot about us. Number 16, Star Wars. The list of worst passwords.
Really? Now, who would think of that?
Yep.
I mean,
whatever. Number 23, let me in. Seems to speak to an exasperation with online security. And password.
Yeah, that's the classic one. It's that, oh my gosh.
Number 2 on the list of bad passwords. These are the worst passwords compiled by Splash Data. It's a company that creates applications for password management and security. The popularity and simplicity of the passwords pose risks for those who use them because that's the first thing a hacker is going to try to use on you. If you simply try tweaking the easily guessable password, well, these things are trying hundreds of times a second. And the way they work it is most computer accounts, if you have 3 bad tries in a given number of times, it will lock down the account and send out an alert. So what these things do is they will hit thousands of accounts per minute with a possible password. And by the time they go through the entire list of accounts, the timers have probably expired on faulty passwords. Mm-hmm. And then start back at the top of the list.
Start going
with
again.
Another list of common passwords. And sooner or later, they will hit on the right combination of password and unlock an account, and then boom, it's off to the races.
The some other entrants this year for the worst passwords list are I love you, monkey, hello, freedom, QAZWSX. When you look at a keyboard, you can see the pattern there.
Yep.
And trust no one, which is trust NO, the number one.
Yeah.
So imaginative, monkey. Why is monkey picked?
I
don't get it.
Monkeys, typewriters.
That might be a cultural reference that I am just not plugged into.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, again, it's really difficult to come up with a decent password. Of course, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 5, whatever numbers, that's just crazy.
So here's a possible one.
And that was the leading one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 was the leading one again.
Let's take a line from your favorite movie. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. Now, you can add or decline to add,
prepare to die. Or you killed my father or whatever. Yeah, anyway, Luke, I am your father. Okay, pick the favorite
I'm
movie.
I'm sorry, please. Dave, I can't do that
exactly.
for you.
let's take it. I'm sorry, Dave, but I can't do that. With random capitalizations and substitutions of numbers for letters or symbols for letters, and a lot of passwords require that you have at least some letter symbol combinations in there. So let's, okay, now that I've said this, don't use this one, okay? But let's say, I'm sorry, Dave, but I can't do that. If you replace, let's say, the I with a 1, and then the O's and sorry with zeros. You getting the pattern now? That is a password that is practically uncrackable for all intents and purposes because no random collection, it's long enough. I'm not going to sit here and figure out how many letters are in that phrase. Whether or not you put quote marks in it, whether you replace L's and I's with 1's, things like that, make for a very, very secure password.
You can. They'll figure that pattern out, but they'd have to figure out what the phrase is in the first place.
Exactly.
And it's unlikely that some random testing of that is going to be able to come up with that combination.
Right. So pick a phrase that means, this is my favorite way of making a password. Pick a phrase or a name, not your dog, not your kindergarten school teacher or something, because that's information that can potentially be found out about you. But movie phrases are easy. Song lyrics.
Yeah, that's another one. Or even some kind of family saying, famous family saying.
Exactly. Something that you can recall. And even if you have to write down a hint in a book, it's a lot more secure than writing down the string of completely random letter numbers that you then have to keep somewhere. Now, maybe you want to put it into a... You want
have a password locker.
A password locker or something like that. A password wallet is what they call them.
And for the records, it's, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
There you go. Yeah. But, HAL 9000. That would be a great password. But don't use it because I just let it out there. And trust me, some hackers wrote it down. The top of the list of bad passwords, 123456, followed at number 3 by 1234567 8.
I know. Can you believe this? And the third is, let's see. Yeah, 1234567 8 ranked third. 1234 5 ranked fifth, and in sixth place, 1234567 8 9. And in eighth place, 1234567.
I find that interesting that 1 through 7 actually ranked lower in the list than 1 through 9.
The company that did this estimated that nearly 3% of people have used the worst password on the list, and almost 10% have used one of the worst 25. That's a high percentage. If you're looking for ways to get into stuff, 10% could be quite profitable.
Exactly. That ups the odds to the point where a random password cracking system has a pretty good chance. Names, forget about names. Robert was number 31 on the 100 worst list. George, number 48 on the 100 worst. And Michelle at number 81. Years. Some people like to type in their birth year. 1990 and 91 were ranked 64th and 65th on the list. Sports references, also common, the 27th worst password, Jordan 23, an apparent reference to Michael Jordan and his famous jersey number. So the same thing would also be Earnhardt 03, if I got his number right. You know, Dale Earnhardt, the sports car driver.
Yep, the 37th worst one was Lakers. So,
if you're a motorcycle enthusiast, Harley is a really bad choice, because I'm sure that's on the list.
Probably somewhere, right? So... if you've thought of it, it's probably been done.
So protect yourself. You know, you've got to...
Don't make it easy for them.
Do not make it easy for the bad guys. Okay.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm thinking of one that I have for something that is definitely not... can't say it on the air type of thing.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, now we mentioned this some weeks ago. You know, Tesla has put in the world's largest
lithium-ion battery in Australia. Now, Musk said he was going to install this thing in a record number of days down in Australia. It would be the largest bank of batteries in the world. Good as it's worth, giant battery has already helped keep power on when a coal-fired plant nearly 620 miles away went down. The world's largest lithium-ion battery was put in to alleviate South Australia's severe energy problems. It supplied emergency power to one of Australia's biggest coal units. The lithium batteries are charged by windmills. So the Tesla system came through. The power pack supplied the energy network with 7.3 megawatts, which is just a fraction of the full capacity of 100 megawatts that the Tesla power pack has. Think about that.
Well, and this is pretty amazing because Tesla's battery bank was on the order of 620 miles away from the site that it helped out.
Yeah. So here's the thing is that, and I've mentioned this on this show a number of times, there's lots of energy in this world. There's no shortage of energy. But there's an abundance of it where we don't happen to need it, and a shortage of it where we do need it. And the trouble is that electricity is instantaneous use or lose. You have no way of banking it. That's where this Tesla power pack, which sucks up wind energy over a period of time and can quickly deliver it over hundreds of miles via transmission lines, provided, of course, you run the wires. So imagine as this technology gets cheaper, these batteries are used to supplement peaking power plants so that we don't get the rolling blackouts like we've seen here in California.
Well, what's interesting is that not only did Tesla's project assist a coal-powered plant, but it beat the backup coal power plant as a power source, and that's pretty amazing. So it was designed to work in conjunction with the South Australian energy grid, and so proof of a concept right there.
Yeah. And the thing is, unlike a conventional power plant, these battery banks
there's no spin up.
Yeah, they can. You just throw the switch closes,
right,
and it's running.
Yep.
It's like turning on a flashlight.
It's already there, as soon as you need it.
So, as this technology gets less expensive to create, you're going to see it solving a lot more problems. Are lithium batteries perfect and they're going to solve all the problems? Of course not. But they are a part of a solution. And as we try to wean ourselves off of fossil-based fuels, it's solutions like this that are going to help make the transition a bit more painless.
Of course, Australia has a lot of sun, has a lot of wind, has a lot of territory that's...
They have a lot of wide-open space.
Yeah, wide-open space. But still, as these technologies improve, it'll make quite a difference.
Yep. Earlier this week, the Magic Leap headset that's been, they've been talking about, this is in CNET's tech news, the anticipated product for next year, and we mentioned some of these last week, but here's another list from CNET. Earlier this week, the Magic Leap 1 augmented reality headset, and they're really cool looking goggles. Brenda and I are looking at a picture of these things, very steampunky.
Yeah, round lenses on them, right? So yeah. So it's a more of a augmented reality, isn't it?
Right. It projects a full image onto your retinas, can be focused on the same way that real objects can. It will ship during 2018. No pricing quite yet, but they do. I mean,
they're also not
kind of cool looking.
Well, they're also not super clunky. So if you think about traditional VR headsets, for instance, now granted, these are only augmented reality, but they do a full head wrap, but they're more like a traditional set of glasses that way. So they must be much lighter and maybe don't drag your head down or give you neck pains
now,
or whatever.
I guarantee you will see these things showing up in a movie.
Oh, probably.
Very, very soon.
Another on the list is, and we mentioned this some months ago, Red, which makes cameras that you see being used in a lot of Hollywood feature films. The Red Scarlet camera and the Red One.
Yeah, you can see that in the credits.
In the credits. Red cameras are digital cameras rather than film that shoot very high quality, and I might add extremely large digital files. But it's its own format. Well, Red is going to be manufacturing a phone using some of their technology. It should ship out during the first quarter, known as the Red Hydrogen. Cinema and photography buffs are looking forward to this Android phone with a 5.7-inch screen. It says it has a holographic display mode. Now, what that means exactly, nobody is sure. It has modular capabilities. This is not a cheap phone, though, about $1,500. But when you consider that a high-end Apple or Samsung is pushing $1,000, suddenly the $1,500 for a phone with a titanium case... this is not, and very supposedly, this thing is just going to have incredible photographic capabilities. And as you know, paying $1,500 for a very high-end camera is not an unheard thing.
Well, and that's not terribly outrageous price, actually.
So that's the Red Hydrogen. Another product on the list, Atari, of course, introduced a lot of kids to gaming back during the 1980s. Atari is releasing the Atari Box. It is a reboot of the popular 2600 console. It'll run under Linux, believe it or not, which is, of course, an alternate operating system. It'll include both classic and new games, have USB, HDMI, and SD connector ports, expected to cost around $250.
Not too bad.
No. Let's see here. What else is it? More iPhones expected to come out on the list. Of course, the 8S, 8S Plus, and the possibly one known as the X2. Now, of course, this is pure speculation because Apple keeps everything very close to the vest. Although, most of the predictions that came out on the Apple iPhone 10 were pretty darn close.
Hmm.
They're having more and more trouble keeping these things under wraps. Now, here's a company, when I was growing up doing tech, was a household name, Channel Master. Channel Master made all the, you know, a huge number of over-the-air TV antennas. You know, those aluminum constructions sticking up off of people's roofs that kind of went away unless you live out in the country because a lot of people went to cable because the TV antenna on the roof was pretty ugly and it attracted lightning. Channel Master is going to be marketing over-the-air DVR, that's digital video recorder. It's also an Android TV-powered media streamer, the Channel Master Stream Plus. Will sell for about $99. It'll have 4K and high definition resolution compatibility, Chromecast support, lots of apps, and it will be interesting to see how that sells from Channel Master.
That's interesting. Now, my tablet is not cooperating with the display of that article.
Hmm. Hitting the arrow and it's not doing anything.
No, it's doing something. I can get the pictures, but I get absolutely no text associated with the pictures.
Okay, so I'm on an iPad and it's reading correctly for me, but your Android is refusing
to. Yeah, is not cooperating.
Oh, interesting.
So I can't follow along.
So you get the title of it, and then but you don't get the descriptive text.
All I get is the list. Yep, I don't get the descriptive text, and I can't hit one of those, you know, just like they're not highlighted like one at a time.
I'll be darned.
So... I remain mute on this.
Oh, okay. All righty. So we've got the Apple iMac Pro computer. That's the new king of the hill for iMacs. So you've had before the Apple iMac. Then you've had the Apple Pro, you know, the Mac Pro. Well, the iMac kind of crams a lot of horsepower into the iMac form factor, which is everything in a single screen box, so it's a monitor with all the computer guts stuffed into it. The iMac Pro is up for order, has a 27-inch high-definition display, Intel Xeon processors, up to 18 cores.
My goodness.
Plus an auxiliary chip that enhances boot security and encryption. The base model starts at $5,000. A fully dressed out iMac Pro can set you back over $12,000.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's a...
That's some serious computing power. No, if you were in a business application or something like that, you know, that...
And that's not even...
Might be worth it.
There are rumors of that Apple's going to ditch the trash can.
Oh,
And come up with a newly configured Mac Pro. At first, they were thinking about maybe ditching the Pro line entirely. But that didn't... you know, there are still plenty of people who do super high-end graphics that you're just not going to do on a tablet. The tablet just doesn't have the horsepower for it. So, a... expandable, upgradable Mac Pro should be in the works for 2018. Also on the list, $199, a lot less than the Oculus Rift. The Oculus Go, a standalone headset, doesn't need a PC or a phone, has a 2560 by 1440 LCD display, built-in speakers, headphone jack, and a motion controller. Again, folks, if you were thinking of getting the $49 VR headset for the kid just because it said VR and a kid said,
VR
headset. Very
careful about that.
Don't give them the $50 headset because it's a complete piece of junk. Other anticipated products, the S9, S9 Plus, and Note 9. These are great.
They just put the Note 8 out.
Yeah, they did. But, of course, there are new things coming out on the market. We may get peeks at the new Galaxy series of phones during CES or perhaps during February at the Mobile Worldwide Congress.
Yeah, those are both the good venues or events for those sorts of things to surface.
Yeah. One of the things... Do you use the fingerprint reader? I do. The face recognition.
Yes, I like the fingerprint reader.
Do you like it where it is? Would you prefer it to be back on the front, or do you like it back there where you're going to get your fingerprint all over the camera lens? That's the only quibble I really have.
Yeah,
with the Note.
I don't really like it on the back, but I've learned to use it. So, you know, it's like anything else. You got to adjust to these things, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's see here as we work through our list of the anticipated products of 2018. The new Snapdragon processor.
I haven't heard that word in a while.
Now, Windows have been traditionally Intel machines. In fact, there was a phrase for this type of computer called the Wintel. You know, Windows running on an Intel platform. Along came AMD, so you can run... AMD processors that would run Windows quite nicely. Well, the newest generation of Snapdragon processors are going to be moving into PC laptops. Lenovo, HP, and Asus say they want to make Windows devices featuring Qualcomm. Now, Qualcomm started out pretty much as just a telephone company, but they've really gotten into making these processors. The Mobile 835 is a very powerful, lightweight, low-energy consumption processor. This is a big step away from the x86 chip architecture, and it's going to make your laptop behave more like a smartphone, which may or may not be a great thing.
Yeah, that may or may not be a good thing, right? Yep.
Well, this is what Windows was trying to do with Windows 8, of course. What Microsoft wanted to do with Windows 8 was that it was a unifying operating system. You know, when you would have the Windows phone, you would have the Windows 8 computer, and everything would behave the same. And the consumers went, not working. ESPN Plus streaming service. Now, Disney, of course, has bought, among other properties, ESPN. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out.
Yeah,
ESPN Plus is going to be streaming sports.
It'll be also interesting to see how this pans out in the wake of the loss of net neutrality and what ISPs start providing for folks.
And Apple, finally, we hope in 2018, getting around to getting the HomePod smart speaker on the market. They've been dinking around with it for 3 years now. It's been delayed. This is Apple's answer to Echo and home smart speakers with the price tag of about $349. I will tell you the one that I am looking at, that I'm really considering, is that Beast of a Google Home Plus speaker.
Mm.
That big, beautiful, bassy beast. Well, that's all the time for this week. It's Boomer Tech Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Father of a man suspected of plotting a terror attack on a San Francisco's Pier 39 tourist attraction said he saw no signs of any radical behavior from his son.
He was like, you know, Dad, I'm just Muslim. I'm a Muslim, and that's my religion, and, you know, but, you know, I just thought, okay, well, you know, you're just, you know, you just got to grow your beard all up and, you know, stuff like that, but never nothing like this. I mean, I